to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Friday, June 27th, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today is the Reverend James Jensen from St. James Lutheran Church in Bothell, Washington. Good morning, Pastor Jensen. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Just fine.
Very good. Very good. Say, tell us about St. James Lutheran Church in Bothell, Washington.
Yes, St. James Lutheran Church is located north of Seattle. We're in the North Seattle Circuit. And it began as a mission of the Northwest District in the North Seattle Circuit. And we're located just to the south of us a little bit is Microsoft headquarters, and just to the north of us a little bit is the Boeing wide-body aircraft plant. And so we're in a wonderful mission area with all that industry going on around us.
Very good. Very good. We are studying Acts chapter 8 this morning, verses 26 through 40. Any background on the text that you'd like to share with us before we dig in?
Yes, it's a rich text, and there's so much there. There's many ways to go. But what popped out at me, what struck me this time, looking at that text, was the Lord builds the church. And I think that's a great encouragement for us in the times that we're living in. When we see, you know, around our nation, we see decline in those confessing Christ as their Savior, and we see that sort of thing going on. And it reminds us that the Lord builds us. the Lord builds the church. I'm struggling with a little bit of hay fever out here in Bothell.
Oh no!
And the Lord builds the church, and some of the things Matthew chapter 16, after Peter's confession, Jesus says, "I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And then he goes on to say, or just before that, he says, "Upon this, that is Peter's confession, and the truth that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church." And then in Acts chapter 2, we see the fruit of Peter's Pentecost sermon, and there we see at the end of the chapter, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as would be saved." And I, we see that in this eighth chapter of Acts. We note that Philip didn't go seeking mission work in Ethiopia. The angel of the Lord sent him there, and we see that on his journey, it was the Spirit of the Lord that sent him right up to the eunuch's chariot. And then we see that it was the prophet Isaiah who put those words of Christ, his suffering, his passion, and his resurrection from Isaiah chapter 3, right in the hands and on the lips of the eunuch. And then, what was Philip's role? Philip then took that text and showed the eunuch that this is Christ. This is Christ suffering for the sins of the world. This is Christ raised for our justification. And so that's the theme that struck me this time. Also, just one little note of interest, the Ethiopian church has taken a bit of a extra meaning for us in North Seattle. We have an Ethiopian congregation right in North Seattle, Seattle proper, and Makani Yesu, and it's a delight to have them, and so this text takes a little bit of a special meaning for us out here.
Well, very good. It's nice to have that cultural context, I'm sure. Well, we are we're ready to dig in. Verse 26. If you have questions today, listeners, give us a call or an email. The phone number 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us your questions. That's KFUO@KFUO.org. We'd be glad to take some questions as we're digging into Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." Well, let's pause there before we go on to the next section. Let's dig into this morning. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Which Philip is this? Do we know?
That's a good question. St. John Chrysostom believes that it's the deacon Philip, and other commentators believe that it's the apostle Philip. I tend to believe it's the apostle. It would seem to me that the deacon had his duties, his call and his duties prescribed, and one would wonder, the text doesn't tell us any reason for the deacon to be relieved of that and to move on. So I tend to believe that it's the apostle Philip, but it might be the deacon. Some commentators think it is.
So Philip receives a word from an angel. An angel of the Lord said to him, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So where does this place us? South of Jerusalem?
Yes, and in my readings on that, there were various opinions on that too. So I don't think I'm going to go out on that one.
Okay.
We'll leave it to the...
sure. "This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all... he was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship." Let's pause there. First of all, what is the vocation of a eunuch? An Ethiopian, a eunuch. What does this tell us about this young man?
He is, as the text said, a court official. He's a high-ranking member of the court, and in this case, it's Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. And they are dedicated, lifelong dedication to that office, and they continue in that. From my understanding, in a very faithful manner, and they are. Where faithfulness might fail, my understanding is that they're made eunuchs to guarantee the faithfulness, or somewhat guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. So he serves as a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning to Ethiopia, seated in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. How interesting. He's reading the prophet Isaiah. Would this have been common for an Ethiopian official?
No, I don't think so. I think he most certainly was a proselyte or a convert, and it's indicated as he went up by the words there that he went up to Jerusalem to worship. So it would have been one of the festivals of the Jews, and he was there doing that. And that faith that he had acquired. Text doesn't tell us how that text that he had acquired would have put somehow the why Isaiah. It doesn't say, but it would have put the Isaiah text in his hands and on his lips.
So here he is reading Isaiah, and the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him.
Yes, a couple of things there. First, we see who was it that directed Philip there? It was the Spirit. And then we see Philip's role there. He is the teacher. We have a example of catechesis here, and that takes us to our part in the mission. The Lord builds the church, as we observed a little earlier, and we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for it when I look on my abilities, but our part is the catechesis part. We teach and confess, bring the word of Christ. And what here Philip is doing is he's taking him to the Isaiah passage, which beautifully reveals the passion, mm-hmm. and the resurrection and the life of the church. And all that is right there in that Isaiah passage.
No.
And so there we see that we have a very real part, mm-hmm. in building the church. The Lord doesn't do it himself, leaving us out. He brings us into it and gives us the privilege and the joy, and certainly along with that comes sometimes the disappointment and discouragement. But he's building the church, and he's made us a very real part of it. Our Lenten theme this year was the inheritance of the Lord. And we focused on the idea of testament, last will and testament, and how the Lord has an inheritance. And, excuse me, hay fever. The Lord has an inheritance. And on the night in which he was betrayed, as we know, he stated the testament, his last will, and named us heirs. And then, with his death, that inheritance went into effect. And with his resurrection, he picks up the inheritance himself. He's both the testator and the heir, and he picks up the inheritance as true man. And with his inheritance comes our inheritance, and we are members of his kingdom and co-heirs with him, and in that way, very real partners in building up the kingdom that he earned.
You mentioned here we have an example of catechesis, Philip instructing this eunuch. Philip knew to go and instruct him because the Spirit said to him, go over and join this chariot. He was led by the Spirit. He was instructed by the Spirit to go and do this. How do we know who we are to, who and when we are to catechize? How do pastors and others know when and who they are to catechize?
Well, in a general way, I don't think we have the direct and immediate specific instructions like Philip does. So mm-hmm. in a general way, everybody. But I think there are ways that we focus that. Circumstantial indicators say, well, I should be talking to this person, I should be talking to this group, I should be with them. And then their response leads us to move it deeper. And that's very general, but I think that's mm-hmm. really the way it works.
Anyone we are given, I suppose.
Yes, yes.
Anyone we're given, in any time we're given to catechize, certainly.
Exactly.
Now, this—you pointed out this text, this Isaiah text—is a fine example of the passion. Like a sheep was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. What a text!
And that's just a part of it. It just keeps unfolding from there, and the wonders continue through that text.
Mm-hmm.
One almost can't find words to begin to go through that text. Some of the other things there. Let's see. Looking at the Concordia Study Bible here.
Mm-hmm.
One part of it in the Passion, yet in verse 10, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him and to put him to grief. So our redemption is clearly stated there as being the will of the Lord. The Lord wills all of us to be redeemed and saved, and the cost of it is the death of his Son, and this is his clear will from there. And yet, that same verse goes on to speak of the resurrection for the following verses. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that's what's happening with Philip there. Philip is explaining to the eunuch that this is he who suffered for our sins. And then Philip is part of that prosperity of the resurrection. He is out there in the kingdom teaching this passage, that this passage is Jesus.
Hmm. We are studying the Daily Lectionary. We're in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. We're studying with the Reverend James Jensen from St. James Lutheran Church in Bothell, Washington. If you have questions today, give us a call or an email. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying with Pastor Jensen today. So stick around for more His Time right after this on Listeners Supported Worldwide. KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Sudanese Christian woman whose death sentence for apostasy was overturned on appeal has been arrested again. One of her defense lawyers says 27-year-old Maryam Ibrahim has now been accused of forging a passport. Attorney Sharif Ali Sharif maintains the passport was issued by the Embassy of South Sudan in Khartoum, and the embassy has assured the authorities that her passport is genuine. In Washington, State Department spokeswoman Marie Harf had told reporters Tuesday that Ibrahim, her husband, and two small children were released after being detained at Khartoum's airport, but Harf confirmed Wednesday that
the family was taken to a police station for further questioning, where police subsequently rearrested her on charges related to her travel documents.
Harf said Ibrahim remained in custody Wednesday. Her family was with her, and U.S. officials were trying to resolve the issue with Sudanese officials.
What we're focused on is getting her and her family swiftly out of the country. That's certainly our goal.
I'm Steve Coleman.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the Daily Lectionary today. We're studying Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40 with the Reverend James Jensen, pastor at St. James Lutheran Church in Bothell, Washington. Now, Pastor, I have to ask you, did they name the church after you?
I get that all the time. It got to the point where they call me St. James from St. James. The Saint part coming from baptism, of course.
Of course, absolutely. Well, the irony. I guess I could go to St. Andrew. I don't know if we have a St. Andrew around here in the St. Louis area, but St. Andrew, or as they call it out at in Laramie, they call it St. Andy's.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Well,
at least they don't call it St. Jimmy's here.
That would be kind of funny, huh? Well, we are studying Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. If you have questions today, you could give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Shall we go on to the next section, verse 34? Is there anything else about that first section that you want to share with us before we go on to 34?
No, except just to underscore that it's that Isaiah passage that Philip catechizes the eunuch with is a wonderful, wonderful passage showing Jesus, his passion, our redemption, his resurrection in the Old Testament.
Very good. All right. Acts chapter 8, verse 34. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. and they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. All right, so here we have, now he's been catechized, or at least some, been instructed, and the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus.
Yes, the difference between the eunuch's faith before he met Philip and after he met Philip was one of prophecy and fulfillment, one of promise and fulfillment, and he believed in the man in the text, and Philip tells him that the man in the text is Jesus, the one who suffered all those things in Jerusalem during what we call Holy Week now, and rose, and that is how the catechesis began, and it's wonderful just to see how Philip did that. Takes him right to the scripture and shows him Jesus of Nazareth.
It takes him through the scripture, yeah, and shows him Jesus of Nazareth, the good news about Jesus. That's what we're given to do too, isn't it? To tell the good news about Jesus.
Yeah, that's what it is. The good news is the victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes us back to Genesis 3:15, the crushing of the head of the serpent. That's what the good news announces. It announces that the ancient accuser of mankind is crushed. He's no longer has the power of accusation. We are set free through the forgiveness of sins. And I like what one pastor said in a Bible study that I was attending. He said, you know, the word forgiveness really doesn't show up in the New Testament. And, of course, that got the attention of the whole Bible class. And he said, no, he said the word is aphiemi in the Greek. It's aphiemi. And we translated forgiveness, but it's much stronger than forgiveness. It is the good news that our sins have been taken away. It's not just some fiat forgiveness. They're gone, aphiemi, gone. And that's what the good news says. The old ancient enemy has no power. He's playing with an empty hand. He has nothing to say. The good news speaks of his being crushed in Jesus' victory, and our victory through the redemption and the forgiveness of sins, the aphiemi we have in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Thanks for the Greek lesson there.
I'm not very good at it, but that one stuck.
Me either. I'm not very good at it either, right? But I use it, what little I know, I use. So here, then, being instructed in the word, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?"
And some would say the adult information class.
But he had been instructed, right?
Yes, that's the thing. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. That indicates that he had been instructed. He was among the faithful, and now he knows that Mary's son is the one who he had been believing in, and so he had been instructed in that sense. And so Philip simply said, "This Jesus is the one," and so nothing prevented him from being baptized.
And I love how he poses the question: "What prevents me from being baptized?"
Yeah. Yes.
Is there any reason I shouldn't be baptized? Is kind of what he's saying, right?
Yeah. And it's an interesting question, isn't it? But the answer is a resounding no. Let's find the water.
Mm-hmm. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. We got a couple of things here. When they came up out of the water, the spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. Now, any idea what this means? Like he just disappeared, or he was directed, guided to leave?
Well, it really doesn't say if there was a transporter there or not, does it?
Right.
I guess the best we can say is that it was time for Philip to move on in his work in the kingdom, and it was time for the eunuch to move on in his way. And here we have now the message of Christ and his redemption going into Ethiopia, and the eunuch, I'm sure, became one of the major evangelists to Ethiopia. And we know the word did take hold in Ethiopia and prosper, and has prospered down to this present day.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And so the eunuch went on his way rejoicing, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So Philip went on and continued to preach the gospel.
Yep, and so should we. And we should do it with great joy and without discouragement. And look at texts like this, seeing that we have we're not apostles, we're mm-hmm. not prophets, but we have, like the eunuch, we have a wonderful task ahead of us to continue preaching the gospel. And like Philip, not according to his office as apostle do we do it, but according to the office of teaching, whether it be in our various vocations or not. We do that all the time through, you know, the support of our local congregations. That's a major, major teaching of the gospel, and especially in our homes as parents bringing our children to baptism and teaching around the family altar.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go about our daily callings and stations in life, interacting with the people we meet at work, at play, and so on and so forth.
Right. It comes back to that verse 35, beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Aren't we given to do that in our various stations in life, to
exactly,
tell the good news
exactly.
about Jesus?
And that's a good place to put emphasis on this passage for the day, I think.
Some think that evangelism is about, building a great website for your church to draw people in, or doing something to draw the attention of people so that they'll come worship with you. But I think here, I think it starts with telling the good news of Jesus in our daily vocations. That invitation, God works through us, as you said earlier. He uses us. He works through us as he delivers his word through us to our neighbors, to invite them to come and learn more, to learn his word, to receive the gifts in baptism, the Lord's Supper, to be instructed in the word and receive these gifts. That's what it seems to me.
And I think that's been our experience in our congregation in Bothell. Just looking back over our growth, I would say, and I think pretty safely so, that most of our growth, or the better portion of our growth, has come from members simply interacting with the people around them, family, neighbors, and so on.
Mm-hmm. It happens in those daily. Just the everyday life sort of situations where we're given opportunities to tell the good news about Jesus, doesn't it?
Yes, that's been my experience. excuse me, my experience over the years. I marvel to see how the church does grow as the people of the congregation, people of the kingdom, go out and bring the good news, bring the word of the victory to the people around them.
Amen. Pastor, as we're looking over the text as a whole today, anything else that you'd like to share with us that you think we can walk away from this text with today?
I think we've covered it pretty well. I hope you don't mind, but I think you've done a wonderful job of moving us through that passage.
Well, thanks. It's always a joy to get to study God's Word each day, and especially a text like this that is encouragement for our daily vocations, for what God has given us to do each day.
Yes, it was an encouragement for me. I haven't been in this passage in detail for a while, and it was really refreshing and encouraging for me to be able to go back and study this text once again a little more deeply.
Amen. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary today with the Reverend James Jensen from St. James Lutheran Church in Bothell, Washington. Pastor Jensen, thanks so much for being our guest pastor and helping us study God's Word this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, and God's blessing to all the saints out there.
Thank you, and blessings to you and all the saints there at St. James, not St. Jimmy's, in Bothell, Washington.
Thank you, Andy.
God's blessings. Take care. Coming up in a little bit, we have Creation Club. It's Friday morning, so we're going to check in with Pastor Wirth for Creation Club. We'll do that in just a little bit. And during the 9 o'clock hour, we'll join together for morning prayer as we gather around God's Word to pray His Word, to hear His Word, and to pray His Word, sing some hymns as well. We'll do that here in just a little bit. What a glorious day here at the International Center of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. As we're studying God's Word this morning, I have the blessing and the privilege witnessing all of the new missionaries who are wrapping up their new missionary orientation today and heading down to morning prayer in the chapel. And this afternoon, we have a special sending service for them. Very exciting. I get to be involved in that, get to participate in that service and see all these missionaries who are preparing to go out and serve around the globe and in all parts of the world, many to Latin or Central America and South America, and some to Eurasia, all over the place. And not just a pastor or families as well going to serve, husbands and wives. As you got to listen the other day, listeners, you got to hear from Mr. Ritzner, as he's an accountant and going to serve in Papua New Guinea to support the work of the Office of Holy Ministry there and to build relationships with the people in the community there to tell the good news about Jesus. How exciting. If you want to find out more about our missionaries, just go to the LCMS website, lcms.org, and you can find out more about our missionaries. As a matter of fact, right there on the homepage, you can see a banner about the new missionary orientation going on right now that's wrapping up today, actually. So go check it out, lcms.org, and you can find out more. And of course, you can always check out KFUO.org. Find out what's going on with worldwide KFUO. You can listen to our programs online. You can download them on iTunes as podcasts, all right there on worldwide KFUO. KFUO.org. Well, we've got Creation Club coming up in just a little bit. Stick around for more His Time right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.